Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining Gabrielle and I on our November podcast. This month we're going to cover digital marketing trends for 2019, and we're very excited because we're going to have a special guest later on. We're going to have Allison Abraham Simpkins, the SVP of North America for Valtech, join us, so make sure you stay tuned for that. So Gabby, tell us a little bit about like what digital marketing trends we're going to be covering.
Yeah, so we of course are surrounded by all things digital marketing, but we're going to narrow our focus on the three that we see the most common. Which are voice, video, and social media.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, I'm very, very excited. So, what are we going to start off with?
So, let's start off with voice. There are, of course, many advantages of voice with its ease of interaction and ability to engage. For marketers, this means that you can reach customers while they're busy doing other things, and the amount of attention needed isn't as high as with social media and content.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, voice is definitely one of those things. When I wrote my introduction article for the podcast, I said, like, voice, video, social media, it's coming up in a lot of different areas, like we're hearing about in e-commerce and customer engagement and stuff like that. But the thing with voice, the place that I think it's going to have the biggest implication is with voice search. So I kind of laugh because I think just as soon as digital marketers really feel like they have, you know, SEO done and they have the content figured out and stuff, then voice search is going to come in and totally change everything.
Definitely.
But I think it's almost better. Like, yes, it's kind of a new playing field that they have to master for search optimization. But I think with voice, the pro to it is that, you know, people can type 40 words a minute, but they can speak 150 words a minute. So you're now what people used to enter in the little key, especially on your phone. Like if you're trying to search on your phone, it's going to take you forever. But now through voice, people can say more for what they want. So now I think like with the longer sentences, you're going to hit more keywords, which is nice. But then also, I feel like if these voice, they can start like really understanding and collecting data on the conversation consumers are having when they're searching. That's not something you could do with keyword search before or written searches, because people would just have like a few words. But now they're going to be entering full sentences with what they're looking for.
Yeah.
They're going to be asking the questions that we all try to think of when we're thinking about, you know, what are people's questions that we're answering with content. But again, marketers are going to have so much more data on the conversations surrounding the topics that they can use to kind of improve their campaigns.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I actually recently interviewed Zach Sherman. He's the CEO and founder of Spogata. And it's actually a real-time audio streaming service for over 100 digital news sources.
That's
just
crazy.
Super cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, listening, I think that listening to that, like, via like voice is so important, and I think that just so much easier for people that, you know, can't read something or can't watch something during the day, or, you know, or they're driving or getting ready for work. It's so much easier for them just to listen.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, you know, back in the Mad Men era when newspapers were the news source and people would put ads in. I think that for digital marketers, these kind of voice services, like, you know, obviously podcasts are big or news.
Yeah.
It's like these are just platforms that digital marketers can use a voice strategy within.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, so topic number two, video marketing.
Yes, yes, video marketing. We obviously are big fans of video marketing here at CUS Connected with all the short form video we do. But what was funny is I was doing a lot of research for the podcast on this topic, and I was shocked that like the effect, I guess I shouldn't be shocked, but the effectiveness of video marketing. Like I was reading, I think it said like 92% of those who watch a video will share it with someone else, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like when are you ever going to say that with a blog post? Like no shade to blog posts, but videos are obviously what people are going to kind of be moving on. And I also read that if you put a video on your landing page, it's going to increase your conversion rate by 80%.
Yeah.
Like, that's nuts. So I think obviously people are starting to really understand the pros of video marketing and why they need to do it. But I think the big issue with why organizations aren't really jumping on it is I think there's this misconception that there's a lot that has to go out investment-wise to be able to produce videos.
Yeah.
Yes, to some degree, you do have to invest in, eventually you have to invest in camera studios, production, or you have to outsource it, which, I mean, I think as video marketing rises, I think there's going to be a lot more agencies that are specializing in producing that video content. But I also think that there's a way where you can tease video content. So, I mean, we all have iPhones or Androids. We all have phones. Of course, they're phones. We all have cameras in our pockets, you know, and some of them are pretty good, you know, like the new iPhones. They're crazy how good the cameras are. So people can just start. And the other thing about it is when you have more authentic, live type content, sometimes that goes a long way. Like if you think about Gary Vee, like the king of video marketing, everything is just kind of off the cuff, live, you know, sometimes in a taxi, sometimes in his office.
Yeah.
it's that authenticity that people are really, really going to connect with. So I think that if people just get the phone out of their pocket, put a video, throw it out on LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, mm-hmm. sometimes Facebook, like, I really think that people are going to understand the usefulness of the content strategy. And then if there's really big engagement from their consumers, that's when you can maybe take those to, you know, your CFO and say, look, our marketing team needs to invest in video marketing.
Yeah, definitely. I think video is definitely a huge differentiator. Mm-hmm. And it's so engaging too. Yeah. I really think it like captivates people and pulls people in when they're looking at videos. But you have to also remember, just because you're doing video though, you have to do it well, I think. You know, if someone looks at a video on their mobile device and it doesn't work, mm-hmm. and it's like, it's, you can't press the play button because it's too small.
Yeah.
Like, that's my huge pet peeve. I don't like that. And I find that so frustrating. So you have to definitely know what you're doing. But according to YouTube, mobile video consumption is actually growing 100% every year.
That's crazy.
They're saying. So that's massive. That's huge.
And that's a good reason for people to be aware of how their videos are looking on mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and if you're a small business just starting out, there's also like, you know, do-it-yourself videos on like Facebook or Instagram, doing an Instagram Live or mm-hmm. Facebook Live video just to start off, or, you know, if you want to get into it.
Even Insta stories, they make it so easy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and then there's also, you know, Instagram is also seeing 80% increase year over year for their videos. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great spot to start.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Everybody needs to. I think I'm going to mention it later, but, you know, voice seems to be the big trend, but I think video might have been skipped over. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody's really kind of tantalized by this video technology. And I think that maybe need to take a step back and really look at video, because I think it's going to be big in 2019.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay. So our next topic is social media marketing.
Yeah.
And they're doing some interesting things in 2019.
Yeah, the interesting thing with social media in 2019, I've actually been following a lot of what's happening with Facebook. Last mm-hmm. Friday, the New York Times actually put out an article that really, I don't think Facebook's super happy about it, because they did, so I think they did like 50 anonymous interviews with people who work inside Facebook, and they kind of leaked some events that were happening around the scandals within Facebook and kind of how management was managing it and, you know, yelling at boardrooms and stuff like that. So it's definitely quite interesting kind of what's been going on there. And then, again, I'm a big podcaster myself, so I was listening to a podcast that Kara Swisher from Recode and Scott Galloway from Gartner L2 did. Mm-hmm. They had a full episode on their podcast Pivot just devoted to what's going on in Facebook. And Kara's actually done a few interviews with people like Mark Benioff, who had some interesting things to say about what's going on in Facebook. I think he likened them to a cigarette company. Mm-hmm. Tim Cook from Apple had some comments that she knew as well. So, and she actually had some comments on the interview she's done herself with Mark Zuckerberg. So I feel like if anybody really wants to know kind of what's going on with that, that's a really great resource to use. Yeah. The thing that makes me think though is, I mean, myself, I think some marketers are really going to start to think about how they're aligning with different social platforms and where their campaigns are. Mm-hmm. I think obviously they would need to start with engagement. You know, if Facebook is your biggest engagement with your, I mean, obviously don't rock the boat, but if you're having a lot more engagement happening on Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook's really low, maybe stop investing so much in it. Because I think especially when you're thinking about the GDPR, and Facebook's really synonymous with the misuse of personal data. So I think marketers are going to have to think about if they want their brand positioned in that, mm-hmm. you know, and is that really the best way to go? The good news is I think as maybe people are lighter on their Facebook strategy, they can start to get heavier on their Pinterest strategy, because Pinterest has really been able to monetize their user base really well in this last year.
Like, yeah.
I think their revenue went up by a crazy percentage. So, and if you think about the usefulness of Instagram being very picture focused, their Pinterest feed is different, but Pinterest is very image focused.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you can start, and their search feature's great, like I remember you saying that you really liked
it. It's really good,
yeah. Yeah, so Pinterest is kind of, they might take a little bit of that Facebook business or people aren't doing as much, mm-hmm. but I think in terms of strategy with social, I'm going to circle back to video. I think again, as video becomes bigger for marketing teams, the video platforms are going to get better. Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn, especially because LinkedIn has that autoplay that doesn't play sound, which I appreciate, because I hate when those videos come up on pages
and you're
like, where's this coming from?
Worst.
So LinkedIn at least doesn't autoplay the sound, but if you have subtitles in your videos, there's so much stuff that I get stopped in my feed scrolling because somebody's showing a cool video and I like the person in it or I'm interested in what they have to say. So
definitely.
I think in 2019, the bigger social media platforms are going to be where video is and are going to be less controversial.
Yeah.
I think people sometimes forget that Facebook owns Instagram, and I think it's good. I think that maybe Instagram needs to keep that kind of in, on the back burner. But
yeah,
I'm definitely interested to see how Facebook is in the next 12 to 18 months in terms of people's investment in marketing there.
Yeah, well, I like what you said about the ad spend for Facebook too, is that, you know, you don't necessarily need to be investing all this money into Facebook to be getting a good digital marketing strategy.
Exactly.
So I just, I think that, you know, there are other ways of doing it. And, you know, one of our contributors, David Reimer, he actually did a really great article on how to win at Facebook advertising with a small budget. And, you know, he lists four optimization hacks to turbocharge your Facebook ad success.
Yeah.
So, I think that's, you know, I think there's so much information out there as well that you can actually use and utilize, to, you know, to get that strategy going.
That's a good point too, because if people do want to scale back on their spend on Facebook, there's a lot of things out there to be like, if you're scaling back your spend, here's what you can do with that spend.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, there's Hootsuite as well. It's a great social media platform too that you can use for social media, obviously. But like scheduling tweets and stuff like that, like if you don't have time and you need to, you know, get those tweets out for when you're on vacation or something, I think that's a really good way as well. But, you know,
one of the things I really like about Hootsuite actually is they did a lot of partnerships last year, and one of the ones was with Adobe, which
I really
liked. So they're kind of really equipping social media marketers and marketing teams to really be able to create beautiful content through their partnership with Adobe, which I really like. And I think that Hootsuite has kind of started as like, you think of it as like a social media scheduler, but they're really trying to add capabilities so that it really becomes that social media marketing hub, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do.
I really love that.
Yeah. So as you mentioned before, we have a special guest joining us today.
Yeah, I'm really excited. We have Allison Abraham Simpkins joining us, the SVP of North America for Valtech. I actually first met Allison when I was at EpiServer Ascend in March, and then I ran into her again when we were at Sitecore Symposium in Orlando. And I actually had a really great interview with her there, so we're going to be sharing that content as well. But I love running into Allison, and I love having conversations with her because she's not only so incredibly knowledgeable about the space in kind of every different area, but she's so excited with what people are able to do in transforming their business in the digital era. It also, to me, it really aligns with how I understand Valtech. You know, they're a global agency. They, again, they also have this really like visceral, vibrant feel for the excitement and investment they have in helping global businesses really exist and thrive in this economy of experience. So yeah, I'm really excited to speak with her. We actually, when we were at the Sitecore keynote, they showed a project that they did with SickKids in Toronto, which, I mean, nonprofit organizations kind of creating strategies for them is a little bit in its own world, but I wasn't surprised at all when I saw the results that they were able to do and the impactful media that they had and how many media agencies like Fast Company and Globe and Mail and all these other ones were able to cover them, because it was really, really impressive. So if anybody out there wants to have a look at an amazing campaign for nonprofits, SickKids Foundation Toronto is amazing.
Yeah, agreed. That really was awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it. So we're excited for Allison to join us to discuss digital marketing campaigns, the one digital marketing trend she sees will disrupt in 2019, and the biggest digital marketing challenges in the beauty industry.
Yeah, because they have a few clients there.
Yeah.
Hi, Allison. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Laura. Good to see you again.
Great to see you as well. So let's start off with digital marketing combinations, I guess you could say. We all know every brand's going to have their own combination of digital marketing campaigns that work for them, but what would you say has been the most effective combination or approach that you've seen with your clients lately?
I think the best campaigns, it really comes back to measurement. Measurement, the pressure is on brands right now to meet their customers' needs and engagement across all the different touch points and across all the different, people want superior engagement now, wherever they are globally. So the brands that are going to be able to react, test and react the most with their different campaigns they put out there, start small, test it, look at the ROI, look at the measurement you're getting, and then take the bigger initiative. Because really, if you can show your ROI in a small win, that's going to be able to turn the digital and pivot the digital campaigns that you're going to be doing. So brands that we work with, if they're doing that well, they're doing it on a small scale, testing it out across the omni-channel, and then rolling out into larger initiatives. And that's all about adapting, reacting to your customers and really building an economy of experience.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Measurement is a huge part sometimes people forget. And you're right, it is such a huge part. What would you say is a digital marketing trend that you see as having the most potential to disrupt the digital marketing landscape?
Yeah, that's a hard question because there's so many, and we live in kind of an exciting time with digital being so transformative. So whether it's AI or VR, AR or voice, but I think, you know, if I look at a trend for 2019, I think video. And I think video specifically because I think that customers really want to be able to find, consume, and share really informative and animated content in the fastest possible. We have short attention spans these days. So if you can do that, and people show that video is a faster sense path to purchase. So if you've got a really good video strategy and you're giving engaging content to your consumers, and you're driving that path to purchase or whatever your end goal is, I think that's a big win for you. It doesn't mean that, you know, things like voice, because we know voice is going to be the hot topic and is a hot topic. I think they say that statistically in by 2022, every 50% of homes are going to have some kind of smart speaker. So I'm not saying you can't look at those and start strategies on those, but I think if you haven't got a video strategy of how your consumers are consuming animated good content, I think you're missing the boat.
Absolutely. I love that you bring up video because it's also the one trend I think that's going to be huge. I feel like a bit, as I was saying earlier, I feel like a bit of video was hot and then voice really took over. So I hope brands really aren't skipping over video as a great initiative for 2019. So now in reference to the case study we covered with Valtech and Sitecore and Seamus Connected, I know you've worked with L'Oreal for a while now. So I'm wondering what you would say is their biggest digital marketing challenge in the beauty market.
Yeah, I think beauty market is really tough because in the beauty market, you can have an amazing in-store experience where you can go up to a professional and you can get makeup tips and you can get hair tricks and all of that kind of stuff. And so how do you create that same engaging experience online? And so that's a competitive advantage. And somebody like L'Oreal, where they have a billion visitors to their website, they have 250 million followers on social. You know, they really had to look at it and go, we need to pivot to almost a digital first aspect. And so 38% of their media spend is on digital. That's a big, significant amount. And so the competitive advantage that I think beauty really needs to think of is how are you going to give that engaging experience online as you do offline? And so think about it from app perspective, from a different competitive of 3D product testers, skin complexion apps, hair apps that are actually engaging audience with being able to make a personalized choice in beauty, whether it be hair, makeup, or such. But they're giving complexion detectors. So I can't go necessarily to the stand and say, look at my complexion, give me the best blush that works for me. But if I give an app online and do something in an augmented reality aspect and virtual pop-up stores, that's where I think beauty has to overcome those challenges, engage the customers like that.
L'Oreal is a brand that is really using technology well in the beauty market, I'd say for sure. I find that market in particular seems to have an expertise on how to use technology to engage more than others. It's really interesting. Now, I imagine the digital team within L'Oreal is quite large. What are the ways your team at Valtech has been able to work together with their team to get everyone on the same page following this recent project completion with the Sitecore Experience platform?
For sure. So the L'Oreal digital team is massive. And, you know, when we're doing 15 different brands across 60 different countries, it's really about a global presence, but with a localization to it. And that's truly the Valtech competitive advantage as well. This global presence, but local offices. So we can have a team in Paris working alongside a team in New York, working alongside a team in Shanghai. And I think when you start to integrate and orchestrate experiences with agile teams in a global aspect, but certainly with a local face-to-face, that allows you to become successful. When you take a creative person and put them next to a data scientist with a solution architect and a software engineer, and you make them work really well together in a local fashion, but have global expertise, that's where you truly see magical transformation happen.
I love that notion of the creative person with the data scientist. I think in the agency space, we're seeing them blur the lines between disciplines. And I think that that's really a result of bringing the right teams of people together to learn from each other, but also use their strengths to the best ability. Well, that's all the questions we have for you, Allison. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Laura. It was great to talk to you.
So nice to chat with you as well.
Thanks, Allison.
That was such a great conversation. I love how she brought up video because it is going to be a really big part of digital marketing in 2019 for the brands that haven't already adopted it.
Yeah, definitely. And I totally agree when she said that we all have a short attention span.
Oh, 100%.
That was so great. Just even thinking about the amount of time that it takes to read or, you know, it's just better and faster to watch or listen.
Yeah,
Because you can just fast forward through it. And just, it's so much quicker.
Exactly. It's like with video, it's like if you're reading a blog and you just like want to skip through, it's like video. You can just like buffer to where you want to go.
Yeah.
That's why I find titles in videos are nice. So you're like, nah, I don't want to read. I don't want to listen to that. But that's what I'll stop for and see what they have to say.
Exactly.
One of the things I loved is I loved how she focused on measurement because I think it really has to be a key part of any digital marketing campaign. If there's any marketing teams out there that have been successful just churning out campaign after campaign without understanding how it engages with their audience, more power to them. I would actually love to talk to them. But I think that measurement is really finishing the concept. Like you're finishing, not even finishing the circle, because I think that you constantly have to have this like observe, orient, deploy, and assess, and just kind of like feed it into this, you know, wheel of productivity with digital marketing campaigns. But I was recently listening to a podcast with Jason Fried. He's the guy that owns Basecamp and he wrote WeWork, and they just have another book that just came out, I think, on remote workers. Mm-hmm. But he said something different in his company is he doesn't have KPIs. And it kind of struck me because I thought, you know, not that you have to have them. And I liked his notion behind why they don't have them, that, you know, he thinks, you know, if we project a 22% growth year over year and we get 21, I don't want to be upset because we lost 1%. I want to be just as excited for 21% as I am for 22% because it still reflects the energy that my team had in that growth, which I agree with. Mm-hmm. But I think there would have to be a happy medium. I think that you still have to measure how things do within a business, within growth, within sales, within everything. I think that, and a lot of people are goal-oriented people. So I think that measurement is so key, and I'm just so happy Allison brought that up.
Yeah, definitely agree. Well, thanks so much for watching, everyone. Hope you enjoyed our November installment, and we will see you guys soon.
Of course. Bye.